Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Welcome, everyone, to the epic episode 30, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show. The star date of October the 3rd, 2023. Never forget, the show is only on once a month, the first Tuesday of the month. This is our infamous and legendary show. So, gentlemen, pirates and rat pack bastards worldwide, put your best red velvet smoking jacket on tonight. Light up your cigar or pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. Get the cufflinks ready, baby. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slick back that hair retro Goodfellas Goomba style with your favorite manly numero uno cologne. As we delve into the Bachelor universe and galactic cosmos with wild abandon tonight. This radio show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, published in October of 2012, and it's at fine bookstores everywhere and online, coast to coast. And that book, I know, along with the show, you will enjoy immensely. So let's start the show tonight, as we are always on the lookout for the lovely lady female ambushers out there based on the Dean Martin Matt Helm retro spy movie in 1967, which made the ambushers and the gorgeous sleigh girls of the Dean Martin era famous. So whether she is blonde, brunette, or a redhead, it's all good to us in the Bachelor's Den, America. Onwards, I say, each week and each month to the Bachelor Empire, and may God save the Bachelor King. There's a lot going on out there in America land, right? Right, yeah? Hell yeah? Can I get a hell yeah out there? In radio land. Hello, hello, bonjour. You can, some of you may be wearing your Austin Powers jacket tonight. Well, this is our fun show of the month. Now, Thursday nights is always our hard-hitting political show. This is our show to kick back, put the loafers on, and enjoy life a little bit. I would like to thank everyone for building the show and growing it and listening to the show each week, and especially this Bachelor show, which is really going exponential. I myself have my smoking jacket on tonight, have a drink out there, relax, maybe even get a smoke. I got three fingers of Bombay gin in a tumbler. Our tracks are trendy. Hell yeah. Our promos are great. Get down with the lounge sound in the underground. Thanks, everyone, for being here. This show is it. There's nothing quite like it anywhere. Can you believe it's now the month of October? Wow. Well, as I say on most shows, you will not be happy until you are happy. Never forget that. Always doing life what makes you happy. And that is the secret to life. The nation's going through a lot of turmoil right now. We have a toxic dating that's going on coast to coast. And, you know, we've got, we on past shows, we talked about the Morton Steakhouse girl, the work wife and the work husband, ultimatums by your girlfriend, expat travel, of course, passport pros, the MGTOW theme. It goes on and on. Well, one thing that's going on out there, too, we're going to have a, hopefully our special guest can show up tonight after 9. It's Greg Ward. He's going to be talking to us about his recent experiences, I believe his divorce, and his new bachelor life. Like I told you guys before, this show is not against you getting married, because most people and most dudes out there are going to end up getting married. This show is about you being you. And before you get married, most guys are going to be bachelors for more adult years of their life than being married anyway. And most guys out there don't even realize it. But OnlyFans, a lot of these young chicks are doing the OnlyFans thing, and it's attracted over 200 million users in social media. And if you're on the OnlyFans thing, as a young bachelor on the make out there, you're a young man. Well, if you've got even basic perceptions of normal and healthy relationships, they can be warped by that site per some recent studies. A lot of you men will never admit it. I know. But you're giving up sizable chunks of your income to engage in what's called virtual relationships with emotionally manipulative women who, if they're hot enough and cool enough and sexy enough, they can effectively rule over thousands of men and their wallets, by the way, in this online matriarchal hellscape, I call it. Yeah, it's called OnlyFans. A lot of you guys are doing that. You know who you are. You're throwing a lot of your hard-earned money down the drain with these women who you will never meet in real time. They have no desire to meet you. They have no desire to be with you. And that's that, you know. So if you want to throw your money away, you would go to stuff like that. There's other sites like OnlyFans. But these things have been, you know, with the COVID a few years back, a lot of these chicks decided to stay indoors and not go to the bars to meet you and your friends. They decided, hell, I can stay at home in the safety and security of my bachelorette pad, make a lot of cash, you know, for me and my girlfriends, the way she's thinking about it, get money from you dupes. You average frustrated chumps, you AFCs that are out there, guys that can't get a date with a girl like that anyway. The girls know that they can sweet talk you, bat their eyelashes at you, and get that cash, which flies right out of your wallet, right? Right into her coffers. It's amazing. Just amazing. Well, are you damn, Erica? Are you trans or gay? Well, then this show is not for you. This is a, if you're a gender rebel out there in America, which is real hip and trendy right now, I'm sure you know who you are. But this is about the bachelor, the heterosexual bachelors of America and their heterosexual bachelorettes that they're trying to meet. And the state of a marriage in America right now is dismal. Women filing false claims against men is also on the rise. We've talked about those negative things, which do come up. The facts are that 70% of divorces in America are filed by the women still. And 90% if they are college educated. Wow. There's a lot of risk to getting married in America. I'm not saying to never do it. I'm just saying you got to know what you're getting yourself into in more ways than one, you know? Well, it's time to induct our new class of fraternity brothers out there in Radio Land. We have a lot of new listeners each week to The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. I want you all to raise your right hand out there in Radio Land and repeat the Bachelor Animal House Fraternity Pledge.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman is giving this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder.
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Love that. That's great. We're so glad that everyone is here tonight. We'll get into some calls. This is the Space Age Bachelor Pad in the show that your mother warned you about. Having kids today is a big production and very expensive. My nephew just got married out there in Houston. I'm out here in Arizona. I'm the West Coast Rogue Branch out here. But my brother, who decided to move to Houston, was an engineer, and he had, of course, his son had a beautiful wedding, great, great time, great bride, one of the best wedding bashes I've ever been to, seriously. But, you know, that's great, and we wish him well. He had one hell of a send-off that should last him, I'd say at least 50 years, right? But right now, many kids in America, let alone getting married, they can't even afford the homes that are out there. You know, these rates are going up 8%. If you're a bachelor working hard in corporate America, you're saving your money. You're trying to get your first home. Now, a lot of you guys write me during the week, and we told you before, we've had some really good real estate segments that the homes out west, the Rocky Mountain states, have gone up 300% since 1991 and 2. They've got up 300%. That's right. It's much cheaper to go east, young man, stay in the Midwest, even the what's called the Texarkana area, and stay there where the homes are a hell of a lot cheaper. States like Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama, parts of Texas are expensive too. To get a cheap house in Texas, you've got to go to a cheaper town. And one town that's often overlooked there in Texas for a real estate tip for many of you guys is Amarillo, Texas, right there in the panhandle. Forget Dallas. It's overpriced. Austin and Houston, sky high as well. There are some deals, but you got to really look there in Austin and Houston. But Amarillo, average home price is still $2 to $2.50. Not that bad. Still a pretty good town, pretty good sized town. Stuff to do near the hill country. You're near New Mexico and Colorado for mountains, et cetera. So you're not too far away for some really cool road trips. Things to think about as you're going about your business, right? Well, as a bachelor, your wish should be your command. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff on this show. This is our 30th episode, and, you know, my God, we keep rolling along, you know? Is everyone busting your chops in your family for you to get married? How is your family situation? How's your love life, kid? These are things that you need to ask yourself. Well, just remember, if you've got a siblings or parents busting your chops, calling you on the carpet to get married, why aren't you married? Just tell them you're not paying my bills. I'll get married when I damn well feel like. Maybe next year, maybe never. It's my call. It's my life. Own it. And you tell people they keep bullying you and pushing you around to go screw off. Or as I used to say back in my dad's day, take a long walk off a short pier. Love that one. As a bachelor, you are the master of your own domain. You decide what you do, and don't let people bully you and all of that. And don't let them say, well, all societies want young men to get married because it's good for the economy, blah, blah, blah. You know, we have a immigration problem that's out of control, of course. There's, you know, a lot of issues today with having children in public schools and all the crime and the bullying going on. It's a lot more on your plate as a parent or as a young parent than ever before. Now, I've always said marriage is for the young. It's for the young guy and gal. I'll tell you my theory. Everyone loves young love. Young love, that's where it's at. Fall in love with your high school, your college sweetheart. And as you're growing up, if you decide to get married, you're growing up in your career with your children. Or as they say in D.C., the children. You're growing up together. And you're learning new things. They're learning new things. You're going out of your house. You're buying. You're doing lots of moves. Maybe you're being transferred or you're buying up to a bigger home, more legroom for you and the kids. You know the drill. So you're doing all that. After age 40, 45, people marry mainly for companionship and sex too. But the older you get, it's less about building a new family, though some guys may want two and three families if they can afford it, if they happen to get divorced. The thing is, after a certain age, I always say age 45, 50 definitely, it's not about starting a new family in most cases. Most people marry to not be alone. It's for companionship, to have fun, things like that. And that's how it normally goes. And but again, when you're a young guy, yeah, they're pressuring you, aren't they? They really put the screws to you. Yet your society telling you one thing. And they also give out a lot of mixed messages, don't they? A lot of mixed signals. They say one thing in one breath, you have got to get married. And in the next breath, they say, oh, but whatever you do, don't get married, right? So which is it? I say it's up to the man to make that decision. You got to figure out your own life. You got to figure out what's going to work for you. And that is the secret to everything. And once you know that, well, then you'll be much, much better off in life. We're so glad to have everyone here tonight. It's a big show. And it's time to start our infamous episode 30, Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show. Remember, boys, it doesn't matter if she's a blonde, a brunette, or a redhead. They're all the ambushers to us.
In the sun, they get you in the shade, they get you sniffing brandy, or when you're sipping lemonade. They get you at the flicks, so the world may call them chicks. They strike men like, well, they're the ambushers. They get you when you're high, they get you when you're short. You is just their favorite indoor outdoor sport. They get you in a mink, off the deep end in the drink. Female, female, well, they're the ambushers. Blonde and a brunette lie in wait like engines in the grass. You're coming through the pass. Then Buster, your General Custer. Ah, they get you with a hey.
Hey!
They get you in disguise. They get you with their lips, their hips, and their smile, their style, their eyes. They get you cheek to cheek, down the aisle and up the creek. In chase, next cake, well, they're the ambushers.
We love Dino on the show, that's for sure.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it.
Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go.
Too much for one mad hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
That's right. This is the Von Wien Show production. I'm kind of a big deal. I have, and I own in my library, many leather-bound books. Love that stuff. It's tough out there for the young guys. And I was there once. It was tough enough when I was coming up. But each guy's got his own era, his own generation. You know, it's all good. But one man recently wrote this about my book. He said that one can learn so much fun. And I really want to say this to everyone about your ultimate bachelor's guide. It is a well-organized, well-written, even a comical book in some places for anyone. As I turned the pages, I couldn't keep myself from smiling and laughing. It was quite amusing how I discovered characteristics of my male friends lying right in the text of the book. After reading it, I felt it was the perfect gift for my older brother who recently turned 21. This book really got me interested in comedy and the bachelor life in America and living large. And I am loving life more than ever before as I loved the book. I recommend the book for both men and women of all ages. He writes, Steve from Chicago. Well, thank you, Steve from Chicago. That's awesome, man. A nice long-distance dedication. The book is full of bachelor intel for guys, and I think women will get a kick out of it, but it's mainly designed for men. Like, as I say before in the show, women can go on any online source, any bookstore, and there are books and tapes and shows during the day for women all catering to the matriarchs in the new matriarchal American society. We are no longer a patriarchal society, far from it. We are fast becoming a completely zero male matriarchal society where everything the women do is great and wonderful. Women can do no wrong. Everything the man does is terrible. He's wrong. He's, you know, it's always negative. You'll always notice that. And so that's why I designed the show. It's the one platform, the one area of the media stratosphere where men can go to and flock to and listen in and hear the podcast. And they can read the book. They've got the sequel coming up as well. And they can get into it. And they can learn. And they can get educated, guys, about life. Get educated about what's going on. Don't have your head up your ass. Don't be walking around blinded. Have your eyes wide open to the world. My best advice, wide open. Be strong. Have your head held up high. And know what's going on. We are the Good Time Charlie in Charlie's Angels, baby. The Bachelor is part playboy, part warrior, part traveler, part James Bond, part Matt Helm, part in like Flint, part chameleon, and part John Wayne. The Bachelor playboy loves gadgets and cool things, cool cars and cool clothes, cool watches, and great travel vacations. The Bachelor has many edges and facets, like that of a sparkling diamond. Cool to some, others may think he is a bastard like James Bond, but some women think he is the bad boy that they crave. For all that, that is why I wrote the book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. We'll have a lot of fun on this show, I can tell today.
Black.
Very cool. Very cool. That was by Plastic Fantastic Machine. Bachelor Pad. Very cool. Well, a bachelor is someone who isn't married. This may be by default if you just haven't found the right partner yet, or it may be by choice. A bachelor's life can be filling and interesting and very rewarding, provided you don't feel that not being part of a couple is causing you to miss out on enjoying life. You know what they call FOMO, fear of missing out? Well, don't be a product of FOMO. With a happy heart and a determination to live life well and be the very best version of yourself, leading the bachelor's life can be a pleasant and very rewarding option for many guys in today's economy. You'll avoid child support payments. You'll avoid attorney vulture firms trying to carve up your estate. You'll avoid payments to law firms who hate you. You'll avoid all the alimony and all the broken hearts, being part of the Broken Hearts Club. You'll avoid a lot of the drama and turmoil and just outright emotional debris of a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of relationships go south in America. It's harder than ever, I think, to keep a good relationship going. If your girlfriend or wife is into social media, it's okay in small doses. But if it rules her life, it's a big red flag. Every generation has its destiny. And for the young men of the atomic age, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s, America was nothing less than the world and their oyster. And they all washed it down with a dry martini.
I would like to introduce you to the lifestyle.
The ladies.
Lifestyle.
The legend. The lifestyle. Now, the most famous bachelor in the galaxy must make the toughest decision of his life. The Bachelor Party.
When you hit LAX, you know who to call.
When your lifestyle's a fantasy, how do you deal with reality? It's a wonderful lifestyle.
That's true. Got a comment by a female who enjoyed the show a few weeks back named Erin Grande. And she wrote, guys have it better overall. At 30 to 55, you are now established in society. You can still have children if you want to. And you don't show your age as much as women, she says. She goes, women age out quick. Her words, not mine. Women age out quick, she said, and really and truly at age 30, it's pretty much over for the chicks. Pretty much over. Well, it's true, Erin Grande. I would agree with that. I'll tell you what a lot of women are doing. They're putting off getting married. They're riding the carousel. They are still talking to their friends in high school. They're still hunting for Prince Charming at age 55 and 60. I'm meeting women now online that are older than me, but every now and then I'll see one that'll IM me years, and I'll say, I'll see the age. It's like, my God, 45, 48? Well, I normally go for 25 to 30-year-olds. Anyway, she'll say she's never been married. She's now online looking for her Prince Charming. And I'll ask her, what the hell happened to you? Why weren't you looking for Prince Charming 30 years ago? Why do you wait till you're 55 or 50 or 45 even? What's up with that? You should be looking when you're 18, 20. Oh, I was having fun. That means she was playing around with a lot of guys. You know what? Private parts. For 20 years, hopping from bed to bed, she was getting all kinds of carousel sex. from Strange Men. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And don't think she wasn't, because she was. And now all of a sudden, one day she wakes up. She doesn't want to die alone. Her bills are mounting. And she wants a man to come in as her Prince Charming and rescue her from the abyss. Rescue her from the dragon. You know? You see, these chicks are all over the internet. They've hit the brick wall. And they're out there. And they don't bring much to the table. They can't bear you biological children. They're no longer really hot on your arm. It's now a middle-aged woman who might have been good-looking back in the day. Still wasn't bad. But now she wants you to make her an honest woman and make her legitimate. Have you guys run into this stuff? It's unbelievable, let me tell you. Dr. Goldfoot there in the Bikini Machine. Good stuff. That's the psych version of that. Well, on the past shows, you also talked about hoflation. It's real, folks, hoflation. Women wanting more and more. I told you my story of last winter where I met a very voluptuous blonde, and she would not want to meet. She says, no, I will only meet you at Morton Steakhouse, where she already said, you will take care of the bill on my surf and turf, and we will dine together. But she would not meet for a coffee. She would not meet for even a movie. Had to be Morton Steakhouse. And I've run into that a couple of times here in the Valley. I call them the Morton Steakhouse girl. The girl who will only, the only date she'll go on is Morton Steakhouse. And she wants you to pay for it. And you know what that bill's going to be? Well, it's not a la carte there. It's a great steakhouse, nothing against Morton's, but, you know, surf and turf and appetizer. And those girls drink those $30, $40 cocktails. You know they do. And they'll drink three or four of them. And that bill is going to be $300, $350 by the time you are done. Then you got to leave a big tip. If you don't leave a tip, it reflects badly on her, right? And she goes, my God, can't you afford it? And bats her eyelashes at you. You're out the door under $500. And then if you're lucky, she'll give you a big hug maybe just a little peck on the cheek and say, well, thanks a lot. I had a wonderful time. I really enjoyed myself. Thanks a lot for dinner. Bye. And off she goes into the sunset. Another fish that got away and that you want to get away. You want to send her back to the sea where she belongs. Guys, that scenario I just described, you never fall for that. Don't take these women out in these big, expensive restaurant meals. I don't care what she looks like. They're a gold digger. It's called dating for dinner. They're a gold digger. And they, and if they will not meet you or not interested in meeting you for a low-key date, keep it low-key. That's why I say Starbucks. I call it the $10 coffee date. Don't even spend $20, $30, $40. Say, hey, I'll meet you for iced tea or coffee. Everybody drinks iced tea or coffee. And the remote chance that I have met one girl says, I can't drink any caffeine. Well, great. They have lemonade and water there. Oh, okay. Yeah. And don't assume everyone knows what Starbucks has on the menu. But you go there for a $10 date. You sit back in one of those little romantic corners or by the fire, by outside. Some of them have a nice fireplace, the ones near me do. Sit out there and you can talk, get to know each other, and maybe you might take it further. Might go to a movie date next, dinner and a movie, an affordable dinner, an affordable movie, and maybe a bag of popcorn and see how that goes. Do it step by step. But beware of the gold diggers that are out there, and they're in these big cities especially. And these are women who are past their prime, but they still have some looks left, but they still think they can lord it over you and get you to sign on the dotted line and get you to buy them a big dinner. And you haven't even had sex with them yet. You haven't even had a conjugal visit. You haven't even had coitus or exchanged fluids. And they're wanting you to do these crazy things. Because most women in America, though most men are cuts and they're beta males, they don't have the balls to tell you what I'm telling you. Most women in America, they might mean well, but they know the rules are stacked in their favor. And they know most of you cut guys out there, you beta males, will go right along with it. I'm telling you to stop the madness. Stop being a bitch boy and stop being led around by the nose and start being an alpha male like me. Start doing your own thing. Start being smart. Don't let women tell you what to do. It's crazy. And what you guys put up with on the female relationship side blows me away. Most women are trained now to have outrageous entitlement complexes. And yes, you can blame social media for some of it. Yes, you can blame OnlyFans for some of it. Absolutely. Not all your fault. It's society's fault. We've allowed our women in America and in the West to get out of control. We've allowed it. We've encouraged it by saying, having all these power girl themes and power girl backpacks from little, they start them out young. You ever look at a girl's backpack, it says princess. You ever see a boy's backpack, never says prince in America. Only girl backpacks say princess or princesita for Hispanic generation. Oh, yeah, I know. I watch this stuff like a hawk. And you know I'm right. You know I'm right. Well, what's going to be normal in the future is what I like to call the old man with the dog and the female spinster with 100 cats in her Scottsdale or L.A. condo or her condo in Austin or Seattle or New York. This will be the new marital paradigm and dating syndrome in America. COVID ruined the dating scene in America. It created a lot of bad behaviors. Women used to have to go out to meet guys, meet hot guys. And when they realized they could stay at home in their jammies, eat their bonbons, and get bigger, And every guy in line thought they were hot. Oh, you're so hot. These were desperate men, desperate beta males. Women don't care. They laughed it up like a pig in a trough. Like a pig in mud. They just loved it. All the men were fawning. Oh, you're so hot. All these simps were on the internet, crooning them and wooing them. Oh, you're so wonderful. And these fat cows now think they're hot. And now the outrageous entitlement complex that's in most women's mind is, even though they're over the hill, she could be 45, 48, maybe even in her 50s. Doesn't matter. In her mind, she deserves a Brad Pitt, age 35, back in the day, with washboard abs. She wants him all 6 foot, blonde hair, and she wants him to have a $10 million or $100 million bank account. And if you don't have that in her contorted world, you're a loser. Yeah, you're a loser. That's how she thinks. Isn't that amazing? This is where we've come, man. This is where we've come as a society. And it's just amazing what's going on out there. It really is.
A trio with a really, really big future. The girls with the new sound, and here they are, the Honeybees.
A prisoner needs a cell, like a ding dong needs a bell.
Love that. From Gilligan's Island back in the day. Well, COVID ruined the dating scene in America. Of course, that was Ginger, Marianne, and Mrs. Howe. Remember that scene from Gilligan's Island when they're, and Ginger looked so hot back in the day. Oh, my God. Well, I'm a Ginger guy. I like Marianne. I want them both at the same time. But I'm really a Ginger guy, just so you know. Either a blonde or a redhead, my fave. Partial to blondes, though. But these media simps are out there. These simps, these guys that weren't working, getting those stimulus checks from the government, they were emailing ugly chicks, where these chicks have shown me, I've seen it on their phone, 500 email likes in a week, 2,000 a month. If you're a chick, you're getting 2,000 guys a month, and you're a 4 or 5 or 6 on the scale, you know, the real scale, the 10 scale. You know, guys, I mean, no one can resist that. In other words, even the ugly chicks, after a while, will look in the mirror and see, who's the fairest of them all? Well, I am, and I'm Mrs. Piggy. After a while, they think they're really hot. And on it goes. The vicious cycle, rinse, repeat, rinse, the cycle is, it's a downward spiral. And these women have get outrageous entitlement complexes. And they start wanting the Brad Pitts or the best-looking guy in Phoenix, Scottsdale. It's amazing. Well, in my humble view, if you don't find the woman of your dreams, I don't recommend getting married to the first fat whore you meet either, to be blunt. I don't recommend it. Lots of pitfalls, lots of liability, lots of problems, and lots of drama that you don't need. Remember, boys, that you are entering into a legal contract with a family court of law with binding power over your personal domain and assets, and anything you say can and will be used against you in that court of law. So I drive around Phoenix, Scottsdale, or Dallas, or Los Angeles, or Las Vegas. You ever see all the attorney billboards saying that they take divorce cases 24/7? Yeah. They've got a toll-free number to take your case right over the phone. Call right now. We have our agents ready to take your call in person. Yeah. They hire a bunch of lackeys at $15 an hour to take your call. So it's a live voice. By not being smart, you are just funding the beast legal system that is being used against you. And this is why they impoverish you. And this is why they keep you, poor. And it's just a vicious cycle. Be smart, guys. Have a better life. Have a better quality of life. Eat better quality food. Work out. Think better things in your mind. Travel to really cool destinations. You know, have a good time in life. Otherwise, they'll just say, he's a loser. Well, you don't go society's way or the ladies' way in American society, which is more and more a matriarchal society, as I said. They'll say you're a loser. Never forget that.
He's a loser, pay no mind what he says, he's a loser, he's got rocks in both his hands, he's a loser, he can't win, can't play the show, he's a loser, and you know how much I hate to say I told you so, but it ain't
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. Well, on the past shows, we talked a lot about this stuff. And look, I'll break it down for you. A lot of you guys are, you know, out there. But look, have you ever seen these guys at any restaurant? Just look around. Next time you're in a restaurant or a club, scan the room like I do. And do you ever see the middle-aged guys with the hag-looking wives or the real haggard-looking? And the man's quiet, and it's almost fun to watch, and the woman's talking a mile a minute. This isn't right. My drink isn't right. The food's wrong. You got to get a hold of the maitre d', get a hold of the manager. It's all effed up. I want a new cocktail. You better, you know, do your manly duties and fight for me. I'm the damsel in distress. And I'm right now, I'm in distress, damn it. And I want you to do your manly duties, get off your effing ass, and be my young knight, and go fight for me in the castle. Yeah. I make the guy walk up there real sheepishly, hey, can you take care of my wife? You know, she didn't like to drink. And I'm watching this, these dynamics go back and forth, back and forth. Or you see the young guy who is very anxious with a so-so looking gal pal girlfriend. You know, you know they probably met online. No one seems to be, you know, really happy. Guys, what happened out there in America? Only date who you want to date. Only marry who you want to marry. And I know you try to make things work. To get married or not to get married in today's society, that is the burning man's question of our time, gentlemen. Like the Burning Man Festival. The Burning Man question of our time. Do you want a woman of childbearing age so you can have biological children of your own blood, or an older woman who can't have kids? The store is closed. One you have to take care of in her older age. My book, so nothing wrong with that. It's not the best trade, though, with an older woman, an older cougar. They're a lot of fun. They have their own money, which is a big, big, big benefit. Yeah, you can do twice as much because you each got your own money. But she's only going to get older, and her health one day will deteriorate, and she's getting tired of working in corporate America. And she's going to rely on you more and more and more to take care of her, her needs, her economic needs, maybe her child from a past marriage. She's going to look to you. Take care of her. Never forget that. I say find a happy and healthy woman. The younger, the better. And that's what I would do if I were you. Also, are you talking to women overseas? Do they ever come over to America? A lot of you guys are talking to chicks 10,000 freaking miles away from your house. You're talking to them. Oh, I think we're in love. But you never met her. How do you know you're in love? I can't fall in love online like some of you millennial guys and Generation Z. You guys blow me away. You fall in love. If a girl says, I'm in love with you, you believe her. I'm not saying she's not lying or not telling the truth. I'm just saying be a little careful with your own heart, guys. Don't give it out to the first chicky poo overseas that says she loves you. You don't know if she loves you or if that's just a catfish scam to get some money out of you. And make sure you meet her. I wouldn't talk to any girl online unless you have plans to fly there and meet her, or she has plans to come here or meet in the middle somewhere. If she has no passport, then you have to fly there. And if you're pushing to fly in and she's never available or she's always busy, it's a red flag. Because that means she does not want to meet you. And she's scamming you. So be very, very careful in the expat travel category. Expat lifestyle is awesome. I've heard many great things in South America, especially from men, Central America too. But it may be in the cards for you. As a young to middle-aged American bachelor, if you can't find what you want in America, we always give our local women first right of refusal. Can't find it over here, then I say, get the hell out. Go. Get the hell out of here. Find what you want and be happy. That's the main thing. It's called The Guide for the Married Man. They even made it into a movie.
Hold everything, folks. We're going to give you some pointers. Real lowdown on some basic facts of married life. A guide for the married man.
Boy, oh boy.
Now you see, Walter Matthau, is married to Inger Stevens, but he develops a roving eye. The guy's got to be off his rocker to rove on a dish like this. So he goes to Robert Morse, Ph.D., doctor of philandering, for some lessons.
Do all married guys do it, Ed?
Not all of them give in to it, only about 43%, which I think is about to go up to 44.
And would you believe, all of these technical advisors give the do's and don'ts for the married man with an urge to stray. Lucille Ball, Jack Benny, Polly Bergen, Joey Bishop, Sid Caesar, Art Conger, Wally Cox, Jay Mansfield, Al March, Louis Nye, Carl Reiner, Bill Silvers, Terry Thomas, and Ben Blue. Girls, don't let your favorite fellow see this film alone.
He'd never get away with it, would he?
What was Sid Caesar's plan of action? How does Joey Bishop talk his way out of this? What did Art Carney just put over on Lucille Ball? How does a movie star steal a night out? How does Jack Benny operate?
Say, honey, what do you think we could get for this from a secondhand shop?
You can't top Phil Silver's instant alibi.
Oh, you were wedding, what?
What kind of a girl do you think I am? Of course I was.
Just love that. Yeah, good stuff there. Look, that's a movie that starred Walter Matthau, the guy from The Married Man. If you haven't seen that, I strongly recommend you see it. I have it on DVD. It's hard to find now on DVD, but go to eBay. They should have it. Buy it. They're not making this stuff anymore, folks. I tell you, they did a run. I heard of these movies and things a while back, and the factories have pretty much stopped making a lot of the classic movies that are pre-2000. So anything made in the 50s, 60s, 70s that you've seen on DVD, you better buy it, especially. Even VHS, I have both here in the studio. But you better buy those because they're not making them anymore. You can only get them for under 10 bucks. And that's a movie that you're going to love. It's great. And once you own it, it's awesome. Awesome to have, let me tell you. Well, we talked about a lot of themes on past shows. The concept of two as a couple. I've got a friend in Dallas. He's married to a – he couldn't find an American chickie. So he found a girl in Peru. They were in love. They've been married for over a decade. But even he said, you know, as good as things are, they get a little Americanized. But he goes, look, we have a great relationship. But, you know, like it's not always perfect. I don't care who you're dating, who you're with. You're not going to find perfection on this earth plane. I have a thing in my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, where I tell you guys, if you're getting along with her 80% of the time, that's marriage material right there, because most marriages don't even reach that. That means 20% of the time, yeah, there's a few spats. Maybe you want to go left, she wants to go right, or you can't, you're arguing over your travel plans or your date plans or how to get up north or south or wherever. You know, there's always something, right? But you want the makeup sex to be really, really good, right? But there's also, he was telling me, man, he said, you know, it's like I haven't been working for a while. I'm looking for a gig. But he goes, the concept of two as a couple starting to dig in deep into my cash account. You know, everywhere we go, it's table for two, right? Dinner for two. Two movie tickets, two Cokes, two bags of popcorn. Remember your little girl there, your little damsel in distress, she eats. And American women, they eat a lot. And you're always paying for two people the rest of your life. And she'll sit there and maybe she might even have a little job. Great. If she does, keep some money flowing into your family coffers. If you're paying everything, like my friend, and you know, I mean, let's face facts. You're dragging her around for your entire life. And it's one of those things that it's just one of those things, you know. Got to be aware of that. I'm going to try to reach somebody here in a moment. We're going to try to reach Greg, our special guest tonight, who's hopefully trying to reach us. And we can kind of go from there. You know, society will tell most women, why are you a 40-year-old woman with no children and no man? What is your problem? What is the point of getting into a relationship with that woman when you don't even need to? Think about it, guys. These women are always pushing you to get into a big, big, serious relationship. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you're looking for. But I always kept things pretty light at first. Let's see how things go. Let's see, just see how the dates go. See how you feel about it. And women always say, you know, check your feelings. You know, it's all about my feelings, all about our feelings. Well, as a man, you have feelings too. Check out your feelings. Do a gut check. How am I feeling about this relationship? How am I feeling about the last couple of dates? How have they went? Have they been one-sided, or have they been good for both of us? You know, maybe you don't want to be your boyfriend number 25 or 30, you know? Capiche? You know? What a fantastic system women have. She prefers to meet men in her social circles. And if he does not want to date her, then she can ruin him, ostracize him in her social circles, and even ruin his reputation. That's true. And one thing girls will never understand, yes, you have a vagina. We know. We get it. But so do billions of other women. But American women think, I am the only one in the world. Mine is special. I have the only vagina in the world, she'll tell so. Well, guys that they want, the alpha males at the top, have options in life, lots of options. And guys at the bottom have few options, much fewer. And he will settle for her, I'm telling you. We're going to try to reach our special guest star here. So hang on tight. Let's see if we can get him live on the phone here and see what happens. We'll dial it, and you never know in front of the studio if we'll get them or not, but we will definitely try, and we'll see what happens, right? Let's see if we get them.
Hello.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah, who's this?
Greg. Hey, it's Vaughn.
Oh, hey, Vaughn. I was just about to call you.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just finished my my business meeting, and yeah, I was just about to call you right before you called me.
Yeah, man. So you want to talk some now?
Yeah, sure. Are we on the radio right
now?
Yeah,
man. We are.
Well, okay.
We are.
Okay,
we are, buddy.
Let's do it then. Excellent. So
yeah.
You'll have to excuse me. I've never been on a radio program, but so I'm not sure exactly radio etiquette.
No, hey, we're having a good time, man. I know I had met you there at the mall, and you were going to tell us about your past relationships and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, tell us a bit about what you do and your past a girlfriend or so. You wanted to talk about, I think a divorce you went through, right?
Well, no. So right now I'm married. Our marriage is complicated, and that's what I would like to delve into for your viewers. I've had two very challenging relationships in my life that have derailed me from my goals, and they're my own fault. I take full accountability. But maybe your viewers... maybe it would benefit your viewers from hearing my story.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Tell us,
so,
man. Tell us.
Well, so it started out with my daughter's mother. I met her, I think, in 2005. We met at the gym, so, you know, I thought we were on the same page as far as that goes, that type of thing. Turned out I was wrong. So,
what happened?
Well, you know, it's funny because people, especially men, but even women, it's been proven, at least in my eyes, people tend to rest on their laurels. So, although I met her at the gym, she didn't want to continue going, that type of thing. We were basically on two different paths in life. And you know, honestly, I should have ended the relationship in the very beginning. And I didn't because, unfortunately, I'm a nice guy. You know, she was living with me at the time. We were together for 4 years, but the relationship started going on a downward spiral after year two. And honestly, I should have told her, well, look, you need to find a place to live because we can't live together anymore. Unfortunately, I did not because I'm a nice guy. And one thing I learned in life is a little saying, no good deed goes unpunished.
God, is that true? That's so
true. It is so true. I'm still paying for it to this day, Vaughn. So at year four, she ended up pregnant with our twin daughters. And so at that point, I was already ready to leave. I was already ready to end the relationship. I just didn't know how. Okay? And so I didn't. And then I found out that she was pregnant. There's a whole other backstory to that I won't get into on this call, but it goes pretty deep. And if any of your viewers really want to know more about it, I can talk to them one-on-one, but it's rather personal, so I'm not going to explain it on the air. But what I can tell you is that I did what my father told me to do. Maybe I will explain it on the air a little bit. So, and the way I was raised was you do the deed, you man up, and you raise those kids.
That's right.
And that's exactly what I did. Well, that's what I thought I did. Turns out I found out 10 years. So this gets deep, and this may be a shock to your viewers, but this happens more often than people imagine it does.
Okay.
So I found out. I found out 10 years later, so I cut their cords, raised them from birth. You know, I was a full-time dad. Found out 10 years later that I was not the biological father.
No way.
They're 13 now, so I found this out 3 years ago. And any man that's ever gone through this knows exactly how devastating it is. And so I wasn't going to say this on the air, but you know what? You know, this is the Bachelor's Guide to the Universe, right?
Yes, it is.
So I feel like all men need to know this, especially young men that aren't aware of how some women operate. And some women operate with ulterior motives. And they don't care who they hurt. And some of those women, you know, they'll do stuff for their own selfish reasons. And I think as men, we tend to put women on a pedestal like they can do no harm. But men can be equally as vicious. Women can be equally as vicious as men. They're just not physically as vicious. So, yeah, there was that. I did find that out 3 years ago. I was able to work through that mentally. It took a lot of work. I was in a very dark place at the time. But aside from just that fact, I started doing real estate in 2000, or I started learning about, I should say, real estate in 2007. This is another really important factor about choosing your mate. And I had to learn this lesson twice because, you know, I didn't learn it the first time, and God said, okay, well, you didn't learn it the first time. You're going to learn it the second time, and you're going to learn it the hard way. And that is that when I started doing real estate, we went to a Robert Kiyosaki function back in 2007, And at the time, I had watched The Secret. So I started working on my mind a lot. And I started learning about real estate. And I figured out how to do it. I didn't have a mentor, so I struggled. And ultimately, I didn't succeed because of that lack of mentorship. But no excuses. But I did make money. I made about $60,000 part-time from 2010 to 2015 doing what's called wholesaling, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's basically, you know, there's a little blurb in Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, about bird dogging. Well, you don't need any money or you don't need any credit. And my thoughts were, great, I qualify because I don't have any money or credit. So I figured out how to do that. I made my first flip in 2010, and I made $8,200 off of that flip. Didn't pick up a hammer or nail.
How did you do that? Did you just like
that?
I mean, how'd you buy the house? Did you call up with the agent? Put some money down?
I never actually bought it. So what I did was wholesaling, the quick and simple of it, there's a lot more details in it than what I'm about to explain, but the real easy, you know, nuts and bolts of it is you're basically marketing for distressed properties, you know, probates or, you know, just vacant houses or, you know, a house that needs a lot of repairs, pre-foreclosures, foreclosures, that type of thing. You're marketing for those properties. You negotiate the deal with the seller. You lock it under contract. And you sell your rights in that contract to your end cash buyer. Now, obviously, you got to build a buyer's list, that type of thing. There's a bunch of little caveats built inside of the system where you have to figure those things out. But that's the nuts and bolts of it. And what that's called when you assign your rights in the contract to an end cash buyer, that's called an assignment of contract, which you, by law, can get paid a monetary value for that assignment fee. So, a.k.a. wholesaling. That's the nuts and bolts of wholesaling. So I figured out how to do it. Then I ended up getting my real estate license. I was licensed with Keller Williams for a year. And I, you know, discovered there's a lot of red tape involved with having a license as well as operating as an investor. Certain little parameters. I could get into details, but it's not really important here. But the fact is that I decided to drop my license and go back to just wholesaling. And I struggled for a couple of years. I would do a flip or two a year, but not enough to earn an income. And I learned that my market was really bad. Syracuse, New York, upstate New York, there's not a large population there. It's not like New York City. Most people think of New York as New York City. So it's not that. There's not a large population. So I had to figure out how to do it virtually. So I bought another course, spent, I think, $1,000 for the course, to learn how to do it virtually, learned how to do it myself, and I ended up flipping two properties in Salt Lake City, Utah, in 2015 in a six-month period. And I made a profit of $38,000 off of those two deals altogether.
Wow, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, so it was pretty impressive. The problem was is that I did not you know, I had that toxicity in my relationship. And this is the most important part, I think, that would benefit your viewers for, the guy, the Bachelor's Guide to the Universe and that, or the galaxy. And that is, if you have a toxic relationship, it will permeate into your business and destroy it.
That's
effectively
what
happened. So I did all this education and learned all this stuff and took action. But if you're with somebody that is not on the same page as you mentally, you're never going to succeed at anything. And so my input on relationships is if you're going to be in a committed relationship, you really need to know exactly what path you're on in life and make sure that your better half is on that same path. So that would be my takeaway. And so I ended up doing, you know, so I kind of compare me learning about real estate, reading books and self-development and educating myself. I kind of look at that as me taking the red pill. In reference to, as you know, Vaughn, in reference to the Matrix.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But the problem is that in 2015, I didn't even want to look at real estate anymore. I didn't want anything to do with the business because I struggled so hard while I was in that relationship trying to support my, you know, twin daughters. And I just failed so miserably that I didn't want anything to do with business anymore. So for a solid 5 years, I decided to take the blue pill. And I thought I could be like a Cypher from the Matrix and just, you know, plug me back into the Matrix. I don't want to remember anything. I thought it would work, and it did for about 5 years until life kicked me in the pants. And Robert Kiyosaki, I love Robert Kiyosaki's work. I don't know if you read any of his work, Bob.
I have. I've actually been to his seminar, and they gave us 1 gram of silver, and I still have it in a little velvet purple bag. And I've seen him on TV a million times. I see him online, and I've read his book, or he's got several out. But yeah, he's a great guy. A lot of good information there.
Yeah, he's got some really good information, and you know, went 5 years without doing anything in business. And then, one of the things he talks about in his literature is that if you're a W-2 employee in the middle class, then you're only one catastrophe away from being in the poor class.
Uh-huh.
And that is vital because, you know, I thought I was doing okay, you know, after I took that blue pill. And I'm like, oh, everything's fine. I'm back in the Matrix. I know nothing.
Right.
Well, it didn't work that way. So, I mean, and I was making a good income at the time in 2020, 2021 when, you know, my world got flipped upside down. I was making $80,000 a year as a truck driver, CDLA, commercial truck driver. My wife was making $40,000 a year. So between the two of us, we have a large family. So I ended up getting married when I moved out here to Phoenix, Arizona from Syracuse, New York. And, you know, I met my wife out here in Phoenix in 2019. Mm-hmm. We ended up getting married in 2021. But, she had some health issues, whatever, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then that just compounded it spiraled because then it caused me to have health issues because, well, silly story, but you know, I ended up dropping a lawnmower on my finger because we were in the process of buying a new build home and it didn't have grass, and the house that we live in does have grass, and I'm like, well, I'm not buying a lawnmower, you know what I mean, if we're moving to a house that doesn't have grass. So I rented a lawnmower, dropped it on my finger, broke my finger in 3 different places, laid it wide open down to the bone. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
they had to do surgery. They had to put pins in there. They had to stitch me up.
Oh, my God.
Pull out my fingernail. It was a mess. So I was out of work for 11 weeks. Long story short, it cost me my job.
Yeah, gotcha.
So that hiccup that happened to us while we were in the middle class, I mean, $120,000 a year, you would think that's decent income. You know what I mean?
It's not
decent income. We were just operating in the black. So that's when life hit me in the face, and I'm like, oh, this is what Robert Kiyosaki meant about a hiccup, that one catastrophe will ruin it all. So I realized I had to take the blue pill again. So I did take – or the red pill again. I had to take the red pill again, so I did. And I entered back in business, and I tried a couple things, my wife and I. But we struggled. And again, another big reason why we struggled is because we were on different pages. Because remember, I wasn't looking for a woman that was into business mindset type of thing when I met my wife, because I was still on that blue pill high. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's cost me because she doesn't understand why I'm thinking certain ways and doing certain things. I mean, she's starting to get on board now, so I'm hoping that we can save our marriage. We'll see what happens. But what it comes down to is that, you know, I really truly believe, and this is one thing that I learned from Napoleon Hill's book, The Law of Success in 16 Lessons, and that is, you know, I don't know if you ever read that book at all.
I have not read it, no, but I have heard of it, and I'm a fan of Napoleon Hill.
Yeah,
but he's got lots of books out. Yeah, so tell us.
He does. It's like the really in-depth version of Think and Grow Rich. So Think and Grow Rich is a little bit more watered-down version of.
That's what made him famous and a household name, Think and Grow Rich.
Oh,
that made him a household name, right.
There's been probably thousands of highly successful people that have publicly credited that to their success. So for
that's
sure.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But one of the things he mentioned in the Law of Success in 16 Lessons, which I don't believe he mentioned it in Think and Grow Rich, is that if you're married to a woman and there's not complete harmony in the home and you can't make harmony happen, then he stated, quite frankly, I am encouraging divorce.
Yeah.
Because
that's right.
What will happen is if you don't fix that situation, if you can't get harmony in your home, you're never going to have success in life in business of any sort.
That's right.
So
that's right.
So
that really
is what it came down to. And he in fact encourages divorce if you can't fix your marriage. And so
absolutely. And on my show, I go one step farther. I don't recommend marriage unless you find somebody who's going to be harmonious with you to begin with.
Right.
I listened to your
Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. I was telling you about that. I had listened to it, and it was great. It was fantastic because I agreed with everything there. I'm like, wow, this guy's spot on, because there's very few men in this nation that understand these concepts. And when I met somebody that does, I'm like, holy cow, this is a rare – I mean, you are one of the rarities for men in this country. So I was very impressed with Yvonne for sure.
Thank you so much, Greg. Well, I tell you, man, a lot of guys, they mean well, but I always say they are also coached well. And they're coached by the women who lead them around.
Well, not only by the women,
nose.
But by society.
Society, and they're dumbed down. And they will tell you, I mean, I see grown men go, yeah, Vaughn, you're right, but I don't have really any balls, or I don't have the balls that you have, and I don't feel really comfortable saying these things, and I might get in trouble. You know, they almost talk like trouble, like that cartoon character. I'm going, you guys are grown men who own businesses. They're afraid. No, I'm just telling you. They're out there tonight. They'll email me. Oh, great, great show, Vaughn. Wow. I like that guy, Greg. Awesome, awesome story. But they won't call because I have one guy that says, I'm afraid my coworkers are listening and they're going to get me in trouble. The other guy, I own a company. I have a voice that is distinctive. I go, come on, it cannot be that distinctive like Gilbert Gottfried or something
right?
that everyone can instantly recognize. Come on. But some of these people, these guys put up mental roadblocks and lame excuses to not call. But they're listening, and American men have lost their balls. I mentioned that on this show and on the Thursday show, our political show, because they've given them up. And like I said, during the monologue of this show, which you can play back in here tomorrow, we are fast becoming a matriarchal society. And in a matriarchal society,
1,000%.
Men don't speak up for themselves. Men gulp and look down and go, yes, ma'am, I'm a loser. I'm terrible. I deserve everything you're saying. And the women just grin ear to ear. And because all the laws are on their side, the courts are on their side, and the men just sit there and just take it. They take it because
it's programming by society too.
Yeah, society. But that's why I wrote the book, to stop this programming, to get out of the matrix. In other words, stop the madness.
And you're doing wonderful work. I mean, I haven't read the book yet. I'm sure I'd love it. I'm sure I would love your book. I haven't read it yet, but
you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be your Bible because that – now, I'm working on the sequel right now. But that first book, I'm telling you, it's got micro chapters of things that that I went through. And I used to go to the bookstore and go, now, I used to look for a book like mine back in the day, to be honest. I thought, where's a book to tell me about life? And I saw books that are, you know, there's always the men's magazines. And there was the Playboy Philosophy that was written by Hugh Hefner, which I really liked. But, of course, he's talking to you from a millionaire's perspective. I'm talking to guys from a street perspective. We can't afford
right,
a fleet of lawyers. Two different perspectives. So I found books from millionaires. I found books that were kind of goofy, like how to throw a bachelor party, how to throw a bachelor barbecue to impress your dorm friends, you know, stuff like that, real kitschy,
right.
You know, made by the New York publishing houses to kind of dumb you down even more. And I go,
exactly.
No, I want a book that's not written by a New York faggot, to be blunt, or a
exactly.
lesbian Jewish, you know, feminist from New York City to write about my life as a bachelor in America. And I tell guys, I came from the streets. I went to college. I'm educated. But I have book smarts and I have street smarts, the very rare combination of both. And I also
– that is a very rare combination.
It is. And because most people are one way or the other. And also nobody knocked on my door, Greg, and said, hey, Vaughn, here's $1 million. I like the way you parked your hair. Or your grandfather died. And here's 2,000 acres of oil-rich land just for you. Have a great life. Bye. Nobody ever knocked on my door and gave me anything. Yet I've met guys that have inherited $1 or $2 million. And their lives are in shambles because my book is not about the money you inherit. It's about what's in your mind. What are you thinking
absolutely.
About?
Well,
and
you'll lose it just as quick as you get it if you don't have your mind right.
That's right. That's right. And the American, there's a lot of great American women. We're not bashing women, but I will say, not bashing women.
But
an American woman, right, but as American women will tell you in their quieter moments, they'll go, yeah, everything is geared toward us. Yeah, we know everything. All the laws are on our side. They could scream. You can't scream fire in a theater. You get arrested. But a woman can scream rape, and 20
right.
cops will come.
Exactly.
How about those apples?
Exactly. And look
Think
what happened
it.
With Mike Tyson.
Think about
look
it.
Look what happened
folks.
With Mike Tyson.
I'm
there was
you.
No evidence for Mike Tyson. There was no evidence of Mike
That's
Tyson ever
right.
raping that woman.
That's
and
right.
yet he ended up serving 3 years in prison, derailed his, you know, insanely successful career. I mean, he was the baddest man on the planet mm-hmm. at one point in time for 4 years.
But a little girl screams rape. Look at all the women who have tried to bring Trump down. He raped me. He groped me. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I don't care if it happened or not. My point is these women have the chutzpah, though. They have the gall to impugn you and make allegations, and they don't back down those allegations. One was completely fabricated. Many of them have been against Trump. They've been blown out of court, cases dismissed, but they don't stop. They don't stop. And Trump is the alpha male in the country. And I bring up Trump a lot because more men should be like Trump in their own way. You know,
absolutely.
Do
I 1,000% agree. Although I would recommend that they polish their speaking skills.
Yeah.
Trump
well,
was great.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan. But let's face it, he kind of, you know, foot, insert, mouth. You know, I mean, he did say some things. I wasn't offended by anything that Trump said. The problem is that he gave so much ammunition to the criminal cabal, government and media, that I was pulling my hair out. I'm like, why are you giving they've already got mm-hmm. enough ammunition. You don't need to give them any more.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Now, I think you said that you're age 49, right? When
we've
spoken before? Okay.
Yes.
And getting back to your wife, are you divorced or separated?
No, we're still together. We're still working on it. But we've got a lot of personal issues that we need to resolve. I can't divulge on the air, obviously.
Sure.
I'm not going to be able to work on it if I divulge things on the air like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, we don't know her from Adam, and we wish you both well. We hope you can patch it up. What does she do for a living, or does she work? Does she do anything in industry or sales or –
Yeah, she used to be in customer service. She was really great at her job. Now she is with a cleaning company. She's doing well. But yeah, we, you know, because of those issues that we ran into, you know, medically health wise and everything, it derailed us hard and it cost us big time. But there is that.
Okay, well, yeah, and you're working that stuff out. That is awesome. I really wish you guys work it out fine. Again, you know, if you can patch things up and move forward, wonderful. And the premise of my book, as I think you and I we spoke there briefly at the mall venue, is most men, in my view, are going to be bachelors for more of their adult years than married, typically, in America. We passed the hurdle of 51% of households are now run by single people. It's close to 52% now. Go ahead.
Interesting. Oh, no, I'm just listening. Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but, yeah, it's definitely not like the 1950s where, you know, marriage was, you know, a common thing and, you know, couples stayed married for their entire lives. We're not in that era anymore.
Yeah, we're not, and it's really unfortunate. That was a good era, and it wasn't perfect. I always tell people there's no perfection in any era. Everyone looks back, oh, the 1950s were perfect. No, they weren't perfect. I wasn't born then.
Right.
I was a former.
No, there was racism. There was racism back then, and a lot of things going on that weren't perfect. But the nuclear family was very healthy back then. The nuclear family,
very strong. Right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the nuclear
it.
Family went nuclear in my generation.
It blew up. Right. Well, there were a lot of forces that were conspired to attack it. And, you know, that's good fodder for this show because we know that the feminists were involved, you know, the 1960s and 70s. That was huge. And in the 80s, they kind of got into cash. They got into sexual harassment suits, trying to get, you know, the CEO fired. Now, to be honest with you, if you're a white heterosexual male in American
society,
you got a target
on your back.
Bullseye on your back. And the women in
Absolutely.
The office want to get you fired. You're especially if you aren't, you know, talking and promoting, you know, LGBT and transgender this and transgender that. Even if you're quiet, but not good enough.
That's a funny nuance.
They want
that
you to promote.
I
noticed that.
You mind if I jump in here real quick on that nuance?
Go for it. Yeah. Jump in, man. Jump in.
So sorry to cut you off, but I just thought of a funny nuance about that because you have the feminists that are working at derailing society, but I really wonder how the feminists feel now that men are changing their genders and competing with them in sports. Sometimes in cage fighting, mixed martial arts. Jeez, they got to be really confused because that's the team that are on, the left.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure they're not okay with men getting in a cage with women and saying, oh, I'm a woman too, and just beating the living crap out of them because you and I weren't raised that way.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, these women are getting a dose of their own medicine in a weird way. I laugh at those stories because the men – The men that are, you know, probably closet gays, but they're getting these sex change operations and they're marching into the female restrooms and they're playing on the female sports teams. And it's all that gender bending stuff that Generation Z is really into. Not me. I'm Generation X. But my thing these women are just, they are, you know, they all moan and cry the blues. Like, but this is the world that you wanted. This is what you wanted,
baby. You asked for this poison.
You asked for this crap. Now it's on a silver platter. It's being shoved in your face, and you have to own it and deal with it. It's a no.
And you don't like it
because
there's a sin that's been put on it.
Yeah. Well, and now they look at the white guys and go, but I want you guys to go and fight it as my white knight. Well, I wasn't the white knight for 30 or 40 years, baby. Now you want me to be the white knight? Doesn't work that way. You cannot turn men on and off like a water faucet and expect results. And American women think, oh, I can push these buttons. I can turn them on. No, you can't. Because the men say, we're laughing going, this is great. Hilarious and on social media. We're laughing at
you. I am. I know I am.
Come to your aid. Yeah. We're not going to come fight for you. Why? When you told men for 30, 40 years, F you, I can open up my own door, Mr. Greg. I don't need you or Vaughn to help me. I'm a woman. Hear me.
Yeah. That's well put, Vaughn. Well put.
They said, screw you. I can drive my own car. I'm making my own money. I don't need some damn man in my life. Fuck you. And that's what they said time and time again. So we sat back and go, okay, baby. And that's why I've always said if we're ever in a big, big war, draft these bitches up. Put them on the front lines. It's what you want. You want equality? Okay.
Yeah, you want
here
equality.
You
said you could be a Navy SEAL. You said
Ukraine.
You could do the job.
Here you go. Have fun, baby. Watch out for those cluster bombs. Duck and cover,
baby. No, unfortunately,
duck and cover.
They don't understand. You know, men and women, we are equal, but we're equal in different ways.
That's right. We have different skill sets. We
have different skills.
Absolutely.
We're biologically different.
We're not supposed to be the same. This is a weird leftist idea that we're all supposed to be the same. And let's hold hands, sing kumbaya around the campfire. What drugs are they smoking, man? I mean, women come to the table, with a certain set of skills, and the differences that I like to accentuate are beautiful. I like the differences in men and women. I don't want every woman to be a ball-busting man wearing her man pad. You know those man pads, shoulder pads, back in the 80s and 90s? I mean, these women thought they were football players, and they wore the shoulder pad dresses. Hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. I remember those.
Like a linebacker.
Yeah, it was during the 80s
like
with the big hair. During the 80s with the big hair. I remember those man
pads.
And
it went into the early 90s. And even I saw those things up until about 1995 at Arrowhead Mall. And then they just went they went away to the thrift stores. But I saw them that late. And I'm telling these are chicks, they were built like linebackers anyway. They weren't built like, you know, dainty young females. Like I said in the show, the women today, they want to eat like a man. Well, you get surf and turf? I want two surf and turf just for me. You have a beer? I want four cocktails. And you're going to pay for them, buddy boy. That's right. That's how they roll. And they say, you either or you can kiss my ass and I'm out of here. Well, many guys have chosen the latter option. All right, baby.
And the latter option is not a bad option for women like that, for sure.
Not a bad option. I tell guys.
In fact, the latter option is the only option for women like that.
Sometimes it is. And some guys, the outrageous entitlement complexes, you need to say to her to her face, screw you, I wish you well, but I'm gone. Yeah, passport pros. You better believe it. Maybe expat travel. Yeah, I love the travel. And they'll see, oh, well, the only women you can get are overseas. Well, no, there are real women over there, and I'm tired of being berated and being by the American female. That's what some guys are telling them and going.
Well,
and,
you know, they made a song about that. I don't remember the original song, but I do remember the remake by Lenny Kravitz, American Woman, Stay Away From Me.
That's right. Stay away from me. American woman, mama let me be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's truth to that song.
The lyrics are great. There is. There's lots of truth to that. When I heard that song as a young kid, I went, wow. You know, very edgy at the time. But they were seeing that in the late 60s. The late 60s when that song came out. And they just made it.
Yeah, I don't remember who the original –
I don't remember who the original singer was.
I think it was Three Dog Night. I think it was Three Dog Night or some. Let me while I'm talking to you, let me Google that actually.
Okay.
American Woman. And let's see here. It says here. Oh, I'm sorry. The Guess Who. That's right. The Guess Who. Released
okay.
in 1970.
Yep.
In January 1970. Yeah. Yeah. Great, great song. Classic song. But look, those guys that wrote it, this is already coming up. Remember, they already had about 10 years of feminism by 1970.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're about right there.
They were getting sick of it. They were getting sick of it, you know? Unreal.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
Greg, what are your thoughts to bachelors or to this country? What are your final thoughts to bachelors or any advice? Anything you'd like to tell them?
Yeah, there is something I would like to touch on. So you had mentioned, you know, these guys that just, you know, they can't find their balls, this and that. And, you know, you're 100% right for sure.
And they admit it.
And I would like to – this message goes up to those guys. You know, this may be offensive, but you're beta males. And if you are that guy, that beta male, then maybe you should check out Andrew Tate's work.
Yes.
Because you have a problem in your own mind and you don't even know it. But it is, there's nothing toxic about masculinity. It's healthy. We need masculinity in the society, because any society without masculinity is a society that's going to be taken down real quick by other countries that do have masculinity. And women think, oh, well, no, we'll be fine. You know, we can fight the wars. Can you? I don't think you can.
Yeah, really.
So that's the only, you know, thing I'd like to add on. I mean, there was a movie, and I'm sure you remember it, G.I. Jane, back in, I think, 1999.
Oh, yeah.
With Demi Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Now, if a woman could actually make it through BUDS and become a Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. which I would be shocked, unless they lowered the standards like the military has been doing, which, you know, you know me well enough to know that you served in the Air Force, I served in the Army, and unfortunately, that's what our military does, is they just start lowering standards. And they mm-hmm. do it in regular military. For instance, when I was in, you know, I think at my age bracket, I was 21 when I joined, and I believe I had to do 42 push-ups. Well, I did 100, but every time, just about. I always maxed my push-ups. But a woman only had to do, I don't know, it was like 30-something push-ups. Well, if she's got the same mm-hmm. job as me, why does she get to do less push-ups?
Right.
We're lowering the standards, and it does is make our military weaker, because the chain is only as strong as your weakest link.
Mhm. That's right.
So these women realize
I don't have to do anything. I'm a female. I have privileges. See, they always talk about white privilege in America. We have female privilege, and you can't criticize the American woman. She's perfect. She's chaste. She's a virgin, right? The men are
mean and nasty.
We kick men around.
Yeah.
Oh, in America, yeah, and more and more so. It used to be we put them on a pedestal as an object of beauty, as an object of alluring beauty.
But now we put them on a pedestal as an object of virtue.
Well, and also as a dictator to lord over men. And whatever the women say, all of that must be so wonderful. She's so smart. She's so enlightened, right? And the men kowtow. We have a nation of bee drones, men that are bee drones. You know what bee drones do? They gather honey for the queen bee, and then they die.
I didn't know that was the analogy you're using. That's brilliant. I was thinking bee as in beta males, but yes, that's brilliant. The bee drones gather honey
for
the queen bee.
Same thing. Bee for beta male, right. And I've always said he's a bee drone for beta male, but like a bee, like bee. And in the real bee kingdom, the bee drone, His whole mission in life is to not serve himself, not do anything for himself or his business. It's to gather to make honey and to protect the hive for the queen bee. And then he literally dies. And he never has sex with the queen bee either. How about those apples? Isn't that
it sounds like
analogy?
My baby mama.
Well, yeah, that's a perfect analogy of the American male. And like, I see guys, I go to the local mall here, as you and I know, we have a cup of coffee and talk a bit during your work. But the thing is, I watch the people. My mind's active. I'm watching all the guys with the baby strollers. I'm watching the dynamics of the couples. I'm walking around picking up snippets of conversation, and you can read them like a book after a while. And some sitting next to me.
And you're just out there, people watching, just enjoying the show.
People watching, enjoying the show. And they'll sit right next to me, and she'll lay into him. Hey, you know, you got to go out and go back to that store. You got to buy me that. I'm not going to be happy. Well, yeah, okay. Well, we're going to go here. I want to buy myself four Cinnabons for me, and I'll buy, and you will buy yourself a small one. In other words, these women get the big one, and the man gets the small one. They're at Cinnabon at the mall. I've noticed that, too.
Very true.
And I'm going, you guys are like pigs stuck in a trough, and you can't get out of it, can you? You're stuck like a pig. And they look at me, and I go, don't look at me. You married her. You married her, man.
Right?
I mean, don't look at me. I wish you well. I'll give you some moral support over here, but I can't look too much because now she thinks we're communicating. And I know women like that do not like guys like me because we're more worldly and smart.
Oh, absolutely,
and we know
not.
All their tricks. We know all their tricks.
Right. But
yeah.
Those men need to learn how to take their balls out of their woman's purse and say, look, no, this is not how it's going to go down. This is how it's going to go down. Like it or leave it.
That's right. I mean, guys have got to restake their fatherhood or what you can salvage of it. If you haven't gotten married yet, or if you're having some difficulties, you need to reestablish, as in your case, maybe some ground rules of how we're going to go forward in the relationship. It's about community, right? And they always say that. And if you're not married, and if you're dating a girl, and if she's putting the screws to you, you got to ask them, is she worth it or not? But you still got to have that. When a woman says, we have to have a conversation, all men know it's never good. But while you're having that difficult conversation about your relationship, that's a time for you as a man to interject, okay, I've heard what you want. Now here's what I want. Here's what I expect. These are my expectations of our relationship. And if you
and
don't
these
do
are the
them,
things that I will not tolerate.
My feelings. That's right. Here are things that I will not tolerate. And if you do you're going to hurt my feelings. And isn't it all about, you know, just say, honey bunny, isn't it all about our feelings? How we feel about each other? Take their words, put it right back in her face. It's all about our feelings,
right?
It's all about our feelings.
Mom.
And yeah, and then she'll just – and then bat your eyelashes at her like she'll do to you and say, you know, we have to have a peaceful – look, a lot of relationships, as you know, Greg, are like the Cold War between the USA and Russia. You know?
Oh, yeah, I remember the Cold War.
You want some semblance of peaceful coexistence, and if you can achieve that, then you're money. Greg, thanks so much for calling the show, man, and me reaching out to you. We have the show once a month on our batch, as you well know. Now, our next show is this Thursday in 2 days, same time, 8 to 10. You can call in on the VIP line, or maybe I'll reach out to you. But great having you on the show, man. We really appreciate you, and thanks for being a part of it today.
Well, I appreciate you, Vaughn, for having me on. This has been a wonderful experience. I love talking to you about this stuff. As you know, this is right up my alley, and I love talking politics too. So, yeah, I would love to be on again. for sure. And if I know ahead of time, I will I'll clear out my schedule if I can. And if I can be on, I'd love to be on.
I'd love that, man. Well, we will make it happen. Greg, thanks so much for calling the Von Wehan Show. Have a great night, sir. I'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you. You do the same, Von.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night, sir. All right.
You as well.
That was a great call from Greg there, and appreciate talking to him. And to get a cocktail and relax a bit, we'll try to get Brett the Surfer on board and see if he can make it. I'll be right back. Wow, that was Memories of Madrid by the Surfing Senorita. Really cool L.A. Surf band there. They sent me that. We couldn't get Brett the Surfer on. He was on. He was there during the Greg call, but he dropped off. So we'll catch him later. Our Thursday show will be from 8 to 10. We had a troll in the chat room tonight, which I put down. Really funny. Anyone know who this idiot, this faggot named B-Wise of Serpents is? They sound like an obese fool at their computer, drunk or high on drugs, but who knows? We know this is a magnet for some great callers, and every now and then in radio land, you get a few trolls out there. People that are envious of the show, they're jealous of our success. They're jealous of you out there as bachelors on the make, making things happen for yourselves. And that's wonderful. We hope you all have a great night. We thank you all for being here tonight. What a wonderful show as always. Signing off from Valhalla Studios in Arizona. I wish you all a great night and may God save the Bachelor Key. perfect. God save the Bachelor King. That was...
And we love her. We love her a little bit. She's so good. Yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. Well, yeah.